This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, welcome back. Sorry about that, Carol. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I think we're walking a dangerous tightrope. There was another thing called CRISPR many years ago. And I think, I don't know if it's connected or not, but there was two Chinese guys sent to jail eventually over the unethical use of it. And we do have the ability. Sure, look at what we can do at the moment. You know, we have computers that can nearly think for themselves. So
they're bringing back wolves that are extinct like thousands of years, or at least modern interpretations and things. There's amazing stuff happening. And I guess...
But is it all good? Do you understand what I'm saying? I know you can never eradicate disability because people will always have accidents. But I mean, idea that we can eradicate disability at birth or diseases at birth, you know, completely probably in the future... Some people would say that's not a great idea because what you're doing is devaluing people with disabilities.
Well, look, if the people who have it say you're devaluing me, what I would be saying is I'm not devaluing you. I'm actually inherently acknowledging the hardship that you suffer. And that's why we want it to not continue or to be something that's not around in the future. The same way I wouldn't value polio or think that polio vaccinations devalue the people who had polio. Like, there are things out there that objectively speaking cause suffering. And if you can get rid of them, I don't see that as being an overall moral wrong. And in fact, it's an acknowledgement of the hardship is why we would look to get rid of them. Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't even bother. So I just don't see that as a valid argument in its truest sense, like from a first principles perspective. Mm-hmm. However, where does it stop? That is a valid moral question. And that's the kind of thing where anything that happens always goes to the nth degree. So you have to think about those things, you know, and that's why I'm saying that there is a question. What if people said, well, actually, we want to actually just create new breeds of people who are just not made for certain jobs, you know, And therefore, where does that end? I mean, there was a book about this called Brave New World years ago by an author called Aldous Huxley, and people were kind of born in to do certain jobs. And there's this guy called the Savage who was like natural born, and he's this big, you know, enigma to that society because they're all born into certain roles and they're genetically effectively programmed for these things. Like, I don't know that ends well. There is something about the chaos of life that I think is beautiful and wonderful and spontaneous. But when it comes to specifically the question about eradication of certain genetic diseases, just tell me the benefit of those genetic diseases that we
have. There is no benefit. But I'm also looking at the argument that, you know, we stopped all of that for a reason. And the reason was the fear that we would go down this route of perfection, that we're seeking perfection. And there is no such thing as perfection. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're all different. We're all unique in our own way. Some of us, you know, are lazy. Some of us are happy. Some of us are sad. Some of us are hyper. Some of us are lazy. We're all unique. Do you know what I mean? As human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of us have a limp. Some of us have one arm. Some of us are in a wheelchair users. We're all different and unique, but that doesn't make anybody better than anybody else. But that's what we're saying. We're saying that there are people who are better. We're saying there is perfection. It's like saying somebody's ugly and somebody's pretty. Who decides? Do you know what I mean? It's just a human perception as to what pretty is and what ugly is.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I'm with you to an extent there, but I think there's two things. One is that you keep talking about this devaluing of people because they might have a disability that's linked back to a genetic element of what they were formed with. And what I'd be saying to you is it's not devaluing them. It's actually an acknowledgement of the hardship they face, which is why
they don't. They may not see it, but you say that to somebody who's a wheelchair user, the hardship you face, quite happy. They've been born into that situation. They use a wheelchair on a regular basis, you know. And by saying that the hardship, I mean, I remember one day, I was crossing the road. There was a guy in a wheelchair, and I noticed he was kind of struggling a bit. He was crossing the road because there was a bit of a hill on the road, in a bit of a rampy thing, and I went to help him. I stupidly didn't ask. I just put my hands on the wheelchair and I said, do you want a hand? Before I even asked, I put my hands on the wheelchair. And he says, no, I don't need your help. And I walked away saying, ungrateful shit. But as I walked away, I kind of thought about it and said, I shouldn't have done that. That's not, you know, I should have maybe said, do you want a hand first?
Two things. A, your impulse was correct. maybe your execution wasn't. And the world is full of people who mean well and don't maybe show it in the best possible manner. And, you know, that can even be when you're trying to give your friends advice or family or something like that. It comes out the wrong way, but your heart's in the right place. Look, I actually had an intern in the business here who was from Slovakia, and she was in a wheelchair. And it really opened my eyes. Like, we were crossing Pier Street one day, and I realized that there's a part of the road, and it may as well be a 10-foot wall to me as the curb represents to her. And, you know, although she's a nice person, a lovely person, great, great girl, we all loved her. She wrote us a lovely letter when she was leaving, you know, what a great time she had, everything she learned. I'm just saying that objectively speaking, that, you know, if I could say to her, would you like to just be able to do everything that everyone else could do? I think I'd be lying to myself if I said, oh, of course she's happy with her lot. In that sense, I think she has proven exceptional level of acceptance of the unfairness of life, because, you know, she does look around and look at other people and think, God, you know, I have to deal with this. They can do everything. They can walk up hills, do all this stuff, even getting on buses, you know, or getting on trains. And I just think it's delusional to think that someone would prefer that in life. Now, if there was someone who says, I actually would prefer that, you know what? Okay, like, go live that life if you want. I'm just saying that I think it is fair. I think it is totally fair to accept that there is hardship in life, and that we can objectively describe what hardship is and most certainly what it isn't. And that if you had a choice for your child, now bearing in mind, because the people who have this, they had no choice. But if you were a parent and you had a choice for your child to risk this or not, if you knew there was a high level of certainty it could happen, that you'd say, I'm choosing the or not. Like that gene, say, for, you know, where women have to get like preventative mastectomies.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, if we could get rid of that, or if you could say, yeah, it looks like you're having a, you know, if you have a daughter, she's going to be having this gene. This is what she's facing.
It's either that or breast cancer. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. If you had the choice to not have that part of their life, would you make that choice? And I have to say, I think I would.
Okay, well, listen, Carl, I know you're a busy man. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Carl. I appreciate you coming on and talking to us today. Let me go to Jessica as well. Jessica, hi, how are you?
How are you?
Jessica, I'm kind of caught between a rock and a hard place on this, you know, because I'm delighted for these 8 babies that were born without mitochondrial disease, which is an inherent disease. But I also worry that if that's going to be allowed now, and they voted for that in the Parliament of the UK, and that's fine since 2015 to kind of ethically mess around with your DNA, what's to stop, you know, people of in 20 years' time saying, let's allow, you know, designer babies?
You know, I think it's going down a slippery slope. It, to me, as good as it sounds, as miraculous as some people might call it, to me, it just sounds like something out of a sci-fi horror movie. That's just how I see it. It shouldn't take 3 people to have healthy babies. I can't agree with it. I just think it's genetic manipulation. That's what it is.
Well, it is genetic manipulation. It's DNA manipulation. That's exactly what it is. They're removing DNA from one person, their egg, and putting it into another to fix faulty DNA, like, I suppose.
But the fact that, like, that they even probably see it as faulty, like, that's wrong. Like, we're all human, no matter what.
But we are all human. But Carl makes a point. Like, if it was you, Jessica, and, you know, you wanted to have a baby and you were pregnant, would you rather your baby came out healthy or with a disease? Or do you just leave that up to the gods? If somebody said to you, Jessica, look, it runs in your family. You know, your mother's sister's brother had this and your mother's sister's wife had this and or whatever, I don't know. You know, and this is hereditary. But we can fix this so your baby will be born healthy. Are you telling me that you wouldn't take the option rather than take the risk?
You know what? I'd probably say I'm mad. I would leave it up to faith. I would. Mm. I just can't agree with, we can eradicate everything by doing X, Y, Z, starting with manipulating DNA. I can't agree to it. It's just a slippery slope for me. And I think scientists need to stop playing God. Like, there has to be a way, there has to be advancements that they can make without having designer babies on the line. You know what I mean?
Like, that's the end result of all this, isn't it? That would be the peak level of all this. And I don't know if they'd ever allow it. Well, mind you, 20 years ago, I didn't think they'd allow this, but they are allowing it. So it was voted for in Parliament in 2015 because it would have been illegal.
Yeah, the world's going in a weird direction. Who knows what they'll allow? I honestly, in my heart of heart, can't agree with this. I think it's wrong.
Do you think we're just seeking perfection?
We are. It's like they're trying to create the perfect humans, but you'll never get a perfect human.
But is there any, okay, but let's just be honest and just say it out straight. Is there anything wrong with suggesting there is such a thing as the perfect human, and maybe we should all be perfect humans? I mean, obviously we can't control people's personalities, but in saying that, physically, that we could probably, at this moment in time, theoretically, create perfect human beings. So, but is there anything wrong with that idea? What's wrong? People might argue, what's wrong with that idea?
I personally don't agree with it because, like, let's take disabilities, for example, because I know, that's kind of, like, the main thing. Isn't the whole idea that, like, if you have a disability, you embrace it, that's your life. It's not the same as everyone else's. You shouldn't be looking at someone who isn't disabled and being like, oh, well, I want to be like them. Everyone has their own kind of hardships and their own life. I don't agree with this. Everyone needs to be perfect physically and physically able-bodied. I don't agree with it. I can't agree to it.
So you believe, from what I said earlier on, it devalues people who already have disabilities in society?
It does, and it's almost patronising. It's like, oh, well, you can't do this, so we're better than you, essentially. And that's wrong. It's like looking down your nose at them, like they're as if they're not human.
You know, in a way, and I get that. I understand why people would feel like that about it. But again, I say, as I said earlier on, you know, if you had a special tablet, theoretically, and you could give it to any woman who wanted it free of charge and said, go off there now and have sex with your husband tonight and get pregnant, just take this tablet an hour before sex, and your baby will be perfectly healthy when it's born. Are you telling me that women wouldn't take that tablet? If it was tried and tested, I'm safe. Are you telling me people wouldn't take it? Of course they would. I think most people would.
I think some would, yeah, but I...
Some. I think most would. I think most people, you wouldn't...
If someone offered it to me, I'd say no.
Would you?
I wouldn't. I'd leave it up to faith. I honestly would, and I'd probably sound like a horrible human for saying
that. No, that's your choice. No, I don't believe you're a horrible human for saying that. I think that's your choice.
No, I'd leave it up to fate. And if, God forbid, if me and Kira had a baby and there was, you know, if they had a disability or whatever the case may be, I'd love it just as much if it was 100% as the perfect human.
So you'll deal with that when the time comes, yeah. Okay. So yeah. Stay there for a second. Let me go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Not so bad. Just a fast comment on your Bosch, and I'm not surprised at the figures, right? When every party, you know, and the door promoted a Bosch, and I'm even disappointed with the intro that there are this. They never mentioned pro-life, no impact test. I totally disagree with Jessica there. I welcome anything that will bring a child into the world, right? And if you can stop genetically the diseases that are a trait that follow in families, unfortunately, right? And if you can intervene, right, I mean, in some way to stop that and to stop the suffering of the child that will be in and out of hospital, because my cousin had a little girl. She only lived to be six. She had muscular dystrophy, right? Mm-hmm. And that poor child never walked. Like, and she was in and out and in. She spent a whole since the day she was born up to the day she died, just gone 6 years of age, in and out of hospital, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, might sometimes a year sometimes, right? Now, if you could prevent that little girl, she never knew the joy of walking and playing with her brothers and sisters, right? If you could prevent that, or if you were against it in any way, you're a horrendous creature. Because this idea of, like, that we should have no disabilities, obviously it would be a great world. No one is saying anything or cascading or looking down or victimising anyone out there listening to this program today, you know, that has a disability. But if they're true to themselves, surely they would say, if it can be done somewhere genetically, that somebody and all the people in the future going forward will not end up with my disability. Surely, if they're true to themselves, they would say that I don't want anyone to suffer like I suffer.
But John, you're assuming people suffer, okay? And that's a vague word. Let's say somebody's born blind.
Yeah.
To them, that's their life. They don't know what it's like to ever see. They've never seen anything in this world. But they have great senses of hearing, touch, and everything else, enhanced probably other senses as well. So in saying that, like if you said to somebody who's blind, wouldn't it be great if people weren't born blind? That would be quite insulting to them.
Yeah, well, you possibly wouldn't phrase it that way, but I mean, surely the person is blind, most in their own mindset say, I wonder what it's like to see. But they will never know that.
I'm sure they do, but if you said to them, would you prefer if you weren't born blind? You know, your assumption that the answer would be, of course I would, I don't think is true. I think they are happy to take the card that they've been dealt.
And well, they are, because they have no choice over the matter. But like, if they thought they had a choice, which this medical intervention could give people going forward, that choice, right? And if you go down the road, I knew this to come up today now, about the designer baby thing, right? Look, if that happens, it happens. Years ago, I would be probably totally against it, right? But if you want your blonde eyed child, a little girl with the blue eyes or whatever, people can make that decision themselves. But at the end of the day, there'll still be a child be born. And that's what I welcome. And if you can intervene in any way and stop, I mean, in the name of Christ's sake, I mean, if you could cure, if there was a tablet came out tomorrow morning, and if you took it, and if it guaranteed that you'd never get cancer, surely, but of Christ, everyone would take it.
Well, I'm assuming they would. Jessica, you know, that's what people are saying, you know, that this is just a medical breakthrough. This is great stuff. This is wonderful. That's not a breakthrough, by the way. This has been going on for years in China and other places as well. But Britain are the first ones to actually perfect this particular procedure of three people, you know, and using the DNA of three people. So what John is saying is correct. If there was a tablet tomorrow that would guarantee that your baby, when they're born, in their life, will never get cancer, why wouldn't you want to take it, Jessica? It doesn't make sense, probably, to most people listening.
Look, I'm all for science. I'm all for medical breakthroughs. I'm all for evolution. I'm all for that. But I do think it can be in the most perfect procedure in the world. But it will. You can't say that there can't be any ramifications at all. We don't know what the ramifications could be.
Give me an example of what I don't want to put you on the spot, but give me an idea of what you mean by ramifications. What ramifications could there be to, you know, interfering with DNA or a tablet, as John suggested, that would, you know, manipulate your DNA to make sure your baby, when it's born, will live a life free of disease and cancer? Let's just say, for example, that's theoretical. Where is there something negative in that? That's the point John is making. There's nothing. He believes there's nothing negative in that.
See, to me, the ramification would be like Carol said before me. Like, what if they decide, right, we can use this to have the perfect soldiers for the army. We can do this to have the perfect human.
Leave that out. Leave that out of it. They'll be bringing the army in.
No, we'll leave it out, because John, it is all part of it, isn't it?
Well, let me just go back to Hitler with the blonde blue eyes.
But that's what it is. But that's what it is, John. That's what Jessica's saying. It's the Aryan race. Isn't that what they call it?
What Jessica's proposing there, right, is a, we'll say, a Russian roulette society, where you might as well stop all the chemo, no, all the radium treatment, cut out antibiotics, no heart, lungs, or kidney transplants, right? And we'll all take our chance in life. Some of us will die at 20, some of us will say 40, some might live to be 80, but basically, a hell of a lot of us won't, right? Because if that's what you're actually saying, that we'll say, leave it up to God, or leave it up to the universe, or whatever, like, I mean, so cancel everything, like, and leave us all take our chance.
But do me a favour, stay there, both of you, a second. Let me go to Gladys as well. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Hi, Nye, how are you doing?
Gladys, I know we're kind of going down a rabbit hole here, but it's fair to go down a rabbit hole, because once you start manipulating DNA, the possibilities are endless.
Well, I would be, you know, first thing, new research enables a baby to be born without a genetic disease, that would be life-limiting, or a life of, you know, 24-hour care, and you name it, I would be first in the queue to get that scientific improvement in life. And I think that when anything comes about, you know, sort of thing that people don't really understand, that we live in a world that, well, first of all, let me say that 52% of disabilities are acquired. So it's not just, you know, sort of
being
thing
born,
genetics,
yeah. Of course, yeah. People,
you know,
have car accidents or fall or whatever.
Through life,
yeah.
Ever think it's ever going to happen, you know, but it has to happen to somebody. And so the world is not designed for disabled people. It just isn't, you know. And I would say personally, now this is a personal view, and I know that from others, they feel completely different. I think there's a difference between being born with a disability, as somebody said there, somebody born blind, I think it was you.
Yeah.
You're born blind, you've never known what it's like to see. But, you know, I spoke to a girl who lost her sight at 16 and is heartbroken about what she's missing, no longer able to see.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think it happens then to somebody like myself who got a spinal damage, you know, that acquired a spinal damage. So I know what it's like to walk and run around. That's no longer available to me. So if there was a genetic DNA injection that I could get tomorrow, I would be first in the queue. And I would have others who would say that's not.
That's fine. And I accept that. And I think a lot of people would feel exactly the same way. Jessica doesn't, clearly. But a lot of people feel the same way. But here's the thing.
Walk in the shoes of a disabled person. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. I get it. But here's the thing. The fear is... And, you know, the sky falls in. That's all. With all of these things is, will the sky fall in? And, you know, we all cast our minds back as soon as we hear about kind of designer babies to the World War II and Adolf Hitler, who wanted this Aryan race of perfect human beings.
Yeah.
That's theoretically possible now. Hitler would be spinning in his grave and delighted because that's technically and theoretically possible. That we can, you know, that in 10 years' time, a woman can walk into an IVF clinic with her husband and say, okay, we want a baby boy. We want him to be 5'7".
But that's happening now, Niall. That's, you know, the women that go to, you know, and they go through a chart, you know, first thing they want a Danish-looking fella who's 6'3", you know, dark brown eyes, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's already happening. It's been happening for years.
But not through DNA manipulation. It's happening because people are choosing sperm online, for example, to get pregnancy.
But they're also choosing, they wanted a professor, you know, they wanted somebody with a high IQ. So that selection is already there available to women who just want a baby on their own. You know, for certain women just don't want to have anybody else involved.
Yeah, no, and so that's fine. That's their own business. As long as they can afford it, that's their own business.
So they're connecting with, you know, they want one, you know, that the guy fills out, you know, whether, now that can go a bit, you know, crazy. I think one doctor was actually, you know, provided a sperm for, you know, a bit of an ego problem. I mean, 3,000 kids or something ridiculous, you know, but so that can happen. But they're actually picking out the blue eyes, the brown eyes, the blonde hair, the tall, you know, intellectually high IQ, all of that is available already. So that selection is happening. Now, whether it fulfills the baby being born healthy, well, that's, you know.
So another, what you're telling me is you have no ethical qualms about, you know, these
kind
of developments.
That there's always the ones, like we knew in China, of baby girls being aborted, you know, because they didn't. Now look at the state that they're in now. There's no women. There's no women for marriage. There's no women to have babies because they aborted women. And in certain countries, in certain cultures, a woman is not valued. A big baby girl is not valued. And so they're aborted.
Okay, well, stay there a second, Gladys, Jessica and John. Let me just go to Martin. I've only got about 5 minutes here. Martin, go ahead.
Hey, Niall. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Martin, if we could make it fairly quick, but I'm looking at some of the comments coming in here, and some people agree, some people disagree. Galway Girl says she's completely torn by it. And I can understand where people sit in the middle on this. Yeah, they think it's great that you prevent somebody from having a life-limiting disease, but no, because where does it lead to?
Well, the problem is that, you know, that old expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, is as true today as it's ever been. You know, I get what you were saying earlier on about, you know, in a theoretical situation, if you were to say to a woman or a couple, look, here's a pill, and it will eradicate or eliminate any possibility of any particular disease or condition in your child that you're worried about. Now, that's fine, and they may well take that, but in guaranteeing that you're eradicating that one condition, you don't know what you're opening the child up to with other conditions, because you can't guarantee in all circumstances. And it's the same here. People are playing God, and at the moment what you're talking about is they're only manipulating the mitochondrial DNA. What's going to happen when we start getting down to the point where they're manipulating the nuclear DNA? And where you have base pairs that are, you know, there's only two of each copy, there's only two of each, And in the I don't know if people will understand what I'm talking about, but in the mitochondrial DNA, you can have, you know, anything between 100 and 1,000 pairs that can be manipulated. And those manipulations in the mitochondrial DNA, although they have profound effects, even at the moment, there is slightly more understood about the effect and what each pair will do with the mitochondrial DNA than the nuclear DNA. But this will not stop. It will continue.
So, Martin, I do apologise, as I always do to people, because I have to cut them a little bit short. And thank you for coming on the show. Thank you as well to Gladys and Jessica and John and everybody else and Carl and everybody else that was on. I think it's an interesting debate. We will have it again, because I wanted to give it a bit more time, and I wanted to give Martin a bit more time, because I know he knows an awful lot about the topic. But unfortunately, I have run out of time, and I got to go to a quick break, and I should be back straight after this.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.